How would you feel if God, if somebody got you a Christmas present and you didn't open it and you didn't enjoy it? How would you feel if you put your heart and soul into picking it out? And you gave it to the one that you love most and they turned their nose up at it. Or when they opened it, they didn't like it. It'd break our hearts, wouldn't it? How do you think Jesus feels? How do you think God feels? I want to preach on Christmas gifts in Matthew chapter 2, verse 1 through 11, the story of the wise men. If you're there, say amen. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him." When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophets, And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel." Then Herod, when he had privily called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search diligently for the young child, and when you have found him, bring me word again that I may come and worship him also." When they heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star, which they saw in the east, went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. When they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh. God, we love you. We come to you in Jesus' name. And Lord, we thank you, God, for what you've already done. The altars have already been used this morning, God, and that's what they're here for, Lord. And God, I ask your hand to be upon us right now, God. God, you move in this church. God, you help me as I try to preach this. Lord, I pray, God, that the Holy Spirit would do the convicting, God, Lord, because I can't. And God, I ask your hand to be upon us right now, God. If there's one that's not where they need to be, God, help them to get on this altar before it's too late. And we'll praise you in all that you do in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Matthew chapter 7, verse 11 says this. Now, I've already talked to you about the gifts. For God so loved the world that he gave. Amen. Matthew chapter 7, verse 11 says this. If ye then, being evil, he's talking about us, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask him? The gifts of God just keep right on going. Amen. Amen. I mean, and I got to think about most everybody in here will give some sort of gifts this year. We a lot of time. Let's just be honest now. Sometimes we put a lot of thought in it. Sometimes we don't. Amen. I'll be honest with you, sometimes me and my wife can go up and down the, especially when all the kids were a lot younger, we'd go up and down the aisle at Walmart or wherever, and I'd say, just pick this. I'm ready to go, just pick this. They'll like it. Don't y'all sit there and judge me. Y'all know she didn't do that. She put thought in it. But sometimes we put thought in our gifts, sometimes we don't. But every once in a while, you know, we do put thought into our gifts. And there have been times that we put a lot of thought into our, and the Lord's kind of got my mind. I remember one year, and I've said this before, I remember one year when the kids were growing up, that's when computers were really starting to come on the scene. And I think we had got Heather a computer and a couple other things, you know. And the money we spent, David, was the same amount as what we'd spent on Blake. But Heather's was in this little spot right here, and Blake's was kind of spread out. And come out, and Heather come out and said something to the effect of, "I guess we didn't have a real good Christmas this year." We'd put a lot of thought in that. My wife had put a lot of thought in that, and that hurt our feelings. Have you ever done that? I wonder how Jesus feels. I wonder how God feels when we neglect the gift that he gave us. And I want to preach this. I just got a few thoughts this morning on gifts. And, the first thing I want to mention is most gifts are wrapped. Especially around Christmas time, the Bible says in Luke chapter 2, verse 7, and she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. And we understand that when Jesus was wrapped up in these swaddling clothes, even as our Christmas traditions go, Jesus was wrapped up and given to us. And like I preached just a few weeks ago, it was only Christmas in Bethlehem because that's where Jesus was. If you're having Christmas at your house and Jesus ain't there, it ain't Christmas. Or you just having a holiday. If you're not living your life for the Lord and it's not Christmas. It's just a holiday, amen. But understand, as I was studying, the Bible says he was wrapped at his birth. But then I saw something, Brother David. The Bible says he was wrapped at his death. Matthew chapter 27, verse 59. And when Joseph had taken the body, he wrapped it in linen clothes. Mark chapter 15, verse 46. And he brought forth fine linen, took him down and wrapped him in the linen and laid him in a sepulcher, which was hewn out of a rock, and rolled a stone of the door of the sepulcher. The first time, I thought about it, Brother Tony, the first time he came, he was wrapped for everyone. The second time, Gavin, he was wrapped for all those who choose to worship him and honor him and glorify him. The thing about it is, you can have that Jesus in the manger. That was for everybody. But I'm telling you right now, to have that Jesus that grows out of that grave, to have that Jesus that died on that cross, you're going to have to choose that Christmas gift. You're going to have to choose to unwrap that one, amen? I'm just telling you right now, there's a lot of us that believe. There's a lot of us that say we're Christian, but your life does not prove that. Oh, you want to be a Christian. Oh, you want the Lord to answer your prayers. But my God, you're living like a heathen throughout the week, and you don't halfway come to church. I'm preaching to them on Facebook, too. You neglect the gift of God. You neglect what God has given you. I wonder how God feels when he looks down and sees some of us. Probably like me and my wife felt that day that Heather come in there and said, we didn't have a good Christmas. Folks, I'm just telling you, the Lord is very serious. I've said this before. Getting saved don't cost you a dime, but heaven's going to cost you the world. Amen. Christmas gifts. I want you to notice another thing about Christmas. Most of the time, a name is attached to the gift. When my wife sat down the other night, she was wrapping gifts, she was wrapping presents, you know, she would write those names on it. Kind of a little funny story about this. She was writing those names on it, she would wrap it, she would hand it to me, I'd put it under the tree. I got over there and I reached down to Brother Tony, and all the wrappings kind of looked the same. I picked up this roll, it was about that long, about that big round. I said, whose is this for? She said, that's the paper. Well, I was wondering why there wasn't no name on it. But most of the time when we have a Christmas gift, we put a name on it. You have a certain thing that you get. Well, you know, Abby's got her gifts. Jalen's got her gifts. And on down the line, and I know you do the same with yours. And everybody's, you thought time, you took time. But I want you to understand something. John 3:16 said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever... That's all of that. Put your name right there. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that Gavin, if Gavin would believe, should not perish but have everlasting life. That if Greg would believe, should not perish but have everlasting life. Romans chapter 5, verse 8 says this, but God commended his love towards us, amen, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. You can put your name right there, amen, for God commended his love towards Tony, that in while Tony was yet a sinner, Christ died for Tony, amen. Your name has been attached to this gift that I'm preaching about. Every last one of us in here, his name has been attached to this gift that I'm preaching about. 1 John chapter 4, verse 9 through 10 says this, in this was manifested the love of God towards us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be a propitiation for our sins. I'm glad that God loved the world. John 3:16, amen. I'm glad God loved the world. I'm glad that God loves the church. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25 says, husbands, love your wife, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for. But I'm glad God loved the world. I'm glad God loved the church. But I'm glad God loved me. The Bible says in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me. Who loved me. That means he wrote my name on that present. Glory to God. I'm glad he loved the world. I'm glad he loves you. But I'm glad he loves me. Amen. My name was written on that present. Your name was written on that present. Every last one of us. Thomas, your name's written on that present. Every one of us. A name's put on it. Let me tell you something. There's all kind of gifts under our tree at the house. 90% of them's for the grandkids. And every one of them's got a name on it. And when we get there and we start handing those out, we'll know who each one's for. If you're here this morning, your name is on the gift that I'm preaching about. It's all about you. It's all about you. And how you handle the gift. Most gifts, just like I've been preaching about, most gifts are placed under the tree. The best gift you ever got was placed on a tree. Amen. The Bible says in Deuteronomy chapter 21, verse 23, his body shall not remain all night upon the tree, but thou shalt in any wise bury him that day. For he that is hanged is accursed of God, and that land shall not be defiled, which the Lord thy God giveth thee for an inheritance. Acts chapter 5, verse 30 says this, the God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom ye slew and hanged on a tree. Acts chapter 10, verse 39, and we are witnesses of all things which he did both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, who they slew and hanged on a tree. Our gift was hanged on a tree. Not only was it hanged on that tree, it was beaten beyond recognition. We all know the story. Very seldom do you come for a Christmas sermon and you hear the story of the crucifixion. But you got to understand something. This gift loved you enough that he was beaten beyond recognition. His hair of his beard was plucked out until there was nothing there. I can see him, Clint. He probably looked like a piece of hamburger meat that had been beaten and beaten and beaten. The cat of nine tails was used on him. He was whipped on his back. He was whipped on his front. He was stripped down to nothing. He had no clothes on. They hung him on that cross, Greg, in total shame. Oh, we come over here, and I can just kind of imagine, and Sister Nancy and some of them, they backed up and looked at this beautiful tree. And they had every ornament was placed in a certain spot. But you got to understand, the best ornament you ever had in your life was beaten beyond recognition. It was bleeding. It was bloody. And when they hung him on that tree, he did a work for you that no Christmas tree you ever seen did for you. Hey, I'm telling you right now, through spiritual eyes, we ought to look at that cross and say, that is the most beautiful tree I have ever seen, because that's what paid the price so that you didn't have to go to hell. The best gift we ever got was hung on a tree. The Bible says in John chapter 19, then they delivered him therefore unto them to be crucified. And they took Jesus and led him away. And he, bearing his cross, went forth to the place called the place of the skull, which is called in the Hebrew Golgotha, where they crucified him and two others with him on either side, and Jesus in the midst. Not only was he hanged on the tree, he carried the tree so that you and I could go to heaven. Most gifts are wrapped. Gifts are given. Gifts are put under the tree, or ours was on the tree. But then I got to thinking about this, the joy of opening those gifts. I look back and I see Gavin just glaring at me today. I know how Christmas is going to be at their house that Christmas morning, because it was the same at my house. It's going to be the same at Taylor's house. It's a little bit different when they get a little bit older, David. I mean, you remember how it was at your house? The joy of opening those gifts. Amen. I won't never forget, you know, me and my brothers, we'd wake up on Christmas morning. We'd run in there to that living room where Mom and Daddy had that tree up, you know. And you know, most of the time with those gifts, they're just under the tree. We don't wrap them. But every once in a while, there's some just wrapped. At my house, when they come to my house this year, all the gifts are going to be wrapped. There'll be paper flying everywhere. It'll look like it snowed in there, paper just flying everywhere. The joy, the anticipation of opening those gifts. Everybody in here knows it. I don't care how old we get. If Brenda gets you something this year, there's going to be anticipation for you opening that gift. You're going to let some of y'all getting ready to lie in church. Every one of us, Richard, every one of us will go to that tree and look for our name on that gift. See, some of y'all done lied. Not me, preacher. Oh, you lying. If you think your wife or your husband got you a gift under that tree, you're going to look at it. You're going to shake it. You're going to try to figure out what it is. The anticipation of opening that gift. How many remember the day you got saved? How many remember how you felt when you got saved? How many remember the joy that was there? The Bible says in Isaiah chapter 12, verse 3 through 6, says, therefore with joy shall ye draw water out of the wells of salvation. In that day ye shall say, praise the Lord. Call upon his name. Declare his doings among the people. Make mention that his name is exalted. Sing unto the Lord, for he hath done excellent things. This is known in all the earth. Cry out and shout, thou inhabitants of Zion, for great is the Holy One of Israel in the midst of thee. There's joy for seeing that gift. There's an anticipation for having that gift. There's an anticipation for that we're going to open it. But glory to God, nothing compares to when you open that gift and there it is. There's the thing that you've been wanting for. There's the thing that you had on your list as a child. There's the thing that you've been wanting for years and years and years, and there it is. How many remember when you got saved? See, some of y'all have lost that into anticipation. Some of y'all have lost that joy. Some of y'all can't get stirred up about nothing anymore, because you've arrived and you think you all holy. They needed to be sitting in Sunday school the last few weeks. And you realize, without Jesus, you ain't nothing. Amen. Without Jesus, you ain't nothing. You'll never be a nothing. You'll never amount to nothing. And without Jesus, you cannot make heaven your home. That's right. Without Jesus, we just no good, dirty, rotten sinners. With Jesus, we just no good, dirty, rotten sinners that's been forgiven. Amen. Glory to that. Ought to make you shout right there. Amen. Hey, I'm telling you right now, the only thing that changed in your circumstance when Jesus come on the scene was now you ain't going to hell no more. You still ain't no good for nothing. You still can't get your way out of nothing. Hey, without Jesus, you can't make it without Jesus. But the problem is, most of us are neglecting the gift. I'm just going to be honest with you. If you neglected the gift that I give you, like we neglect the gift of salvation, I would never give you another one. I told y'all a long time ago, I preached a message a long time, if I was God, you'd be in trouble. Aren't you glad I ain't God? I spend time and I search and I found the perfect gift. And every time I come to Tony and I try to give Tony the gift, Tony shakes his head no. Well, this year he didn't take it. I'll try again next year. And I come back to Tony and I'm presenting Tony with this gift that I've thought about and put my heart and soul in. And Tony shakes his head no. I still got it. I'm still keeping it just for Tony. Because I already gave David one and David accepted it, but I got one for Tony that's just as good. It's what I gave David and what I gave Taylor. And I come to Tony again, and Tony says no. Breaks my heart that I'm trying to give Tony the best. Chucky, the best that I got. And I come again and again and again. And Tony says no. How do you think God feels when he comes again and again and again and again trying to give you the greatest gift that you could ever receive and you say no? And then you come to church and you look around and see how happy David is with his gift. And you see how happy Taylor is with his gift. And you see how happy Melvin is with his gift. And you still say no. Don't wait too late. Don't wait too late to accept the gift. Because as loving as God is, and God is love. My Bible tells me that God said my spirit will not always strive with a man. It's going to come a time that I'm going to come to Tony and I'm going to say, Tony, this is your gift. You see how happy David is. You see how happy Robert is. This is your gift. Will you accept this gift? And if he says no, the Bible says there's a deadline. I believe with all my heart when God tries and God tries and God tries. You're not promised but one time. You understand me? You're not promised but one. God's not obligated but one time to call you. Thank God for multiple times. Amen. I didn't get saved the first time God called me. Thank God for time after time after time after time after time when I finally accepted the gift. What about you? Are you ready to accept the gift? See, some of y'all have come down and picked up the gift before, but you've never really accepted it. You've never really applied it to your heart. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. I want you to bow your heads. Brother Robert.